Good evening, everybody. I hope I did not cause sleepless nights about the shaila of the shuls coming from Tiflis. We're in the middle of a shaila. We literally left in the middle of a sentence of the Mishnah Berurah. So let us see what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. And I want to say in advance, not everybody agrees with the Mishnah Berurah. Not everybody agrees with the approach of Mishnah Berurah, but nevertheless, let us see what Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, we are up to Simon Kuf Nun Dalet. We're in the middle of Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Mem Hei, which is towards the bottom of the page Mem Gimel. And Mishnah Berurah says as follows. Veleinyan Lasois is the last of the narrow line. Veleinyan, and with regards to Lasois, we base, I think it should be based Tifla. Shall Akum based Knesset, with regards to making a shul out of a Tifla. The Mogen Avraham is quoted in the name of the Re'eim Lehokel that it's permitted to do so. Despite the fact that we mentioned that it's Mos, despite the fact that we mentioned that it's a bizoin and it's a problem to make to take a tifla and make a shul out of this, yes, there's an element of Mos, there's an element of disappropriate kind of, but nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah is making here. That time, the reason is, look at that svarim. That's going to make a big enough kmidah. Kiloi nevad habayis atzma me'olam. There's a huge difference, says the Mishnah Berurah. If you are talking about something which has been served, yeah, everybody who learned Mr. Masech Zavazor is very familiar with this concept. Something which has been served per se. You're using the calf which was used in Avodah Zorah, and you're using that for it, and you want to shecht it for whatever. Or it's an item which was served in Avodah Zorah, they bow down to a shofar, now you want to use it. It's nevat itself, it's the item which was served for the Avodah Zorah. Here, however, loy nevad habayis atzma me'olam. The house itself, the premises, was not used as an avodah zorah. The house was not used as an avodah zorah. Yes, it was used for avodah zorah, but it wasn't used as an avodah zorah. Consequently, says the Mishnah Berurah, there's room for leniency. However, this is not poshut at all. V'das ha'li rabbi noite lahach melas beis knesset kuvu ein shom. The Ali Rabbi, however, quotes, and many, many posts can go with him, that you can't make a beis knesset kuvua, an established beis knesset, a fixed beis knesset, on a long term basis, out of a place which used to be a tefillah. So many poets can disagree. The Chamedum now comes the four crucial words of the Mishnah Berurah, which are really, really important and widely quoted. The Chamedum says the Mishnah Berurah, and I believe she'olam noyagin lehokel. Mishnah Berurah says, I think the minhag is to be mekel. I think the Mishnah Berurah is right. Now, I'm not a big historian, but the little bit I do know is I think that until I think that in the Middle Ages and before that, it was totally unknown and it didn't exist or barely existed, this concept of making a tefillah and using it into a shul. I think that's quite a recent, historically, looking at the spectrum of the, I think it's quite recent. Mishnah Berurah says, right in his days, which is probably written some 100 years ago, Beanda, it was, the minhag was to be makel, and certainly so nowadays, the minhag is to be makel. But however, we do have to appreciate, we do have to realize it's not so posh at all. The svara is, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's not served, it wasn't served itself, it wasn't the idol, it wasn't avodah zorah itself, it only used for it, and therefore it's more lenient. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So it sounds like it's closer to the actual avodah zorah. It appears from this that this is just the premises. It's just like heichatimtsa, as it were. It's just the place where it is. And they could have done it anywhere else as well. As opposed to the candles, the wax seems to be more intrinsic with the gas. So it could be it wasn't nevat itself, but it was more important to their worship than the venue. Okay? But it's a good point. It's a good point.
I thought the wax was also because of moist rather than because of actual.
Correct. Correct. So you're saying that according to that svara, nevertheless, it seems it's less most because it's less direct. I want to say that your points that you're raising is very much a Moshe as a tshuva. We're going to see some additional points. Bialoch over here goes in great, great, great detail, and we're going to see it shortly. The Bialoch over here, before we speak about Moshe, the Bialoch, if you look at the Bialoch on the side, it's a long Bialoch. And Bialoch is really, really, you can see from the how reserved he is, his reservations about being matir. Pialoch in the background, he stands here and it's as if he has to be matir because he just has to be matir. He doesn't feel, he doesn't do it with, and he says over there, he says that if there's a difference as to whether ma'amidim they placed there elilim or not. Did they actually place there an avodah zarah or maybe not? Mishnah Berurah goes in and he says that it's not so, he said that if they placed an avodah zarah, that nevertheless the shul could be more of an issue. And then he goes into the shaila of Tashmish, the Tashmish, etc. And then he says that, he said that nowadays, since they put an avodah zarah on a base, and that base itself is in the shul, so it's so indirect, it's Tashmish, the Tashmish. He goes and told, and then that's why he's lenient. But he's not very happy about it. And as you can see in the Mishnah Berurah of here, I'm just following on the words what I read until now. The only room for leniency is if they don't actually place Avodah Zarah there in the mid of the room. Aval elu shma midim shama lileyim, but if they actually place there an Avodah Zarah proper, although they actually took it away, they removed Avodah Zarah, and then sell, subsequently they sold it to the Eden, he said it could be, you can live there, you can make a shop there, you can make a house there, that's all fine. But nevertheless, also it's still most. It's still, if there was an actual Avodah Zarah there, they may have removed it, they may have taken it away, and only subsequently sold to Eden. But no, there's an element of most, and it's a problem, and it remains a problem. He says if there was no Avodah Zarah there, then it's more, you can be, or you can assume there was no Avodah Zarah there at least, it's more lenient than you can, and Mishnah Berurah is a bit more matter. It's not Pasha, this Heta is not Pasha, you can see even the Mishnah Berurah says that, it's as if to explain the minhag olam why we are not machmir. But you can see the Mishnah Berurah is not very satisfied with it itself, but that's the minhag. Moshe's got a tshuva written in the 1960s, and there was a huge need for this particular shul. I don't know the historical background to that. The Moshe's got a tshuva which was written in the 1960s at one point, and there Moshe also says, he points out the words of the Mishnah Berurah, that it's as if you have to be makel, but he said that it's not so poshul at all. But Lemaisa, I think that's what the shuls rely on. It's a very big shaila. That's a very big shaila. That's a really, really big shaila. Yeah, it's a really, really big shaila. It's a very, very big shaila. It's a huge shaila, and that was actually discussed in some of the early shum, that it's a big problem. It's a very big problem. If it can be avoided in any way, it definitely should be avoided. What about mosque? Somebody mentioned it yesterday. A mosque. So if you want to take a mosque and make that into a shul, has that happened in England? Really? Oh, okay, wow. Was that in London?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. So imagine the opposite. A mosque turning into a shul. Oh, very good. So the poskim are much more makel there. The poskim said it's much, much less of a shaila. It's less mosque. Because there wasn't an Avodah Zarah, it's not Avodah Zarah. They don't serve idols. It's not. They're not over the Avodah Zarah, and consequently, it's more lenient. And the post schemes tend to be matir. Yeah. Pardon?
There are different types of Christianity. And one of them, there's one particular branch of Christianity called Quakers, and they're very, very not into any kind of imagery. They don't have any kind of they're not typical.
Right, so if that's the case, they'll be much more lenient. It would be much less of a problem.
His best man used to be a church, but there was no imagery there.
Right.
It wasn't a problem.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what brand it was.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so all those, if it's in those kind of worship, then it's much less of a shaila. It's much better. Yeah. What happens if the tifla was only rented? It wasn't actually their own. Does that make a difference or not? If it was a rented premises.
It makes a difference for sure, because the sure isn't 100%.
Yeah.
Some kind of limitation or
issue. Yeah. So these are the Bialik, what do you think? Still Avodah Zarah. So it's very, very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah over here, at the very end of the Bi'alacha, throws it in. He throws it in as if he brings it. He says, V'da'oid, at the very end of this Bi'alacha, it's on page 86. V'da'oid ima beis tifle shalohem loy hoisurak schur lohem. If it was only rented, efshe sheyesh letzadet lohokel, is even more lenient. When he says, the ein bekoichon lesor abayis le'olam, it's not within their power to usher it. It's not rented, it's not theirs. So the way the Bi'alacha looks at it, Chavetz Chaim says, it's not really theirs. You can't usher something which is not yours. Like if a goy would come, as a marshal, the Alma, if a goy would come and he would worship in a shul, they can't take away the kedusha of a shul. They can't. It's not theirs to usher it onto others. Similarly, as it were, Mishnah Berurah says, it's not their place. It's a rented premises. If it's a rented place, then surely they haven't got the koyach, they haven't got the strength, they haven't got the power to usher the place. And therefore, he said it's more lenient. I think that's an interesting svara.
What about a reform shul that wants to become Orthodox? And so they've done whatever kind of worship, you know, not being Makabal, Term Sinai, and Kodesh Baruch Hu, etc. And now they want to turn it into an Orthodox shul. Is there any difference between that and the church?
Right. So it's interesting. I saw Shail about this. Back in the holidays, I saw Shail about this. And the Shail was foreign to me a little bit. But now that you're saying it, now that I'm hearing it from somebody, I can understand the Shaila now. To me, it's like there are. What would you say? Is it Mos? Would you say it's the element of Mios? I think it's. What would you say? There's a real. We're not talking about conservatives. Genuine reform, and they're upgrading the shoe. Into. Does that make it into? Would that be a problem? See, I think, to me, in my little understanding, it's not, they are totally wrong, beyond discussion, but it's not most. They are making lots and lots of mistakes, and one shouldn't go there, one certainly shouldn't daven there, but as far as meals is concerned, I don't think it's most, I think. But the truth is, I did see Poskim addressing it, and I couldn't look into it because I didn't understand the Shaila, but now that you're hearing it, I can hear the Shaila a bit. Okay, we are ready to move on to another hot topic. And that's straight with the next Hemshech of the Ramah goes into another very interesting conversation. And that is the following, the last four words of the page. Muma Oivet Kechovim. Hey, Muma Oivet Kechovim, that's a Yid who went off. And he went off the derech completely. He certainly wants to donate. You know those people that have gone completely off track, and now he wants to donate a substantial amount to the shul. He wants to give wax, or he wants to give candles to the shul. The Shulchan Aruch says, top line, also lahadlikoi. Not allowed to use it. Here comes this goy this yid who turned away from Yiddishkeit, and he once comes with big bags of donations, big, lots of wax, lots of candles, and he wants to donate it to shul now. Says the Ramo, sorry, you've missed a chance. We were knocking on your door a few years ago, then we'll be very interested in your money. But now that you've turned away, your mum alavedis kechavim, you've turned off completely, then we're not interested in your money. Interesting.
You're saying he's giving them goods, but what if he gives them the shul the money?
Amazing. Okay, absolutely amazing. Now, this addresses a very, very interesting Shaila. Are we allowed to take money, stocker money? So, Shaila of candles and wax is not so relevant anymore nowadays, but lots of stockers. Any shul needs money. In fact, not only shuls, think about yeshivas, think about koilelim, think about schools, think about, are we allowed to get stocker money from people who have turned off? And I'm going to go a step further. Okay, what do you think? What's the halacha? They're not Shomer Shabbos, you can't take their money.
Shaila as to what they could do with it. And they decided
that it could be used, but it should be used for the toilets.
Very interesting. The gate said the butchers, Yerusha, went to the toilets. Okay, very interesting. That's going to be our next child. We're going to speak soon about the Behete. Very good. At the moment, very good. Very interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. At the moment, I'm still speaking about the difference between what I'm asking and what you are mentioning. Is I'm talking at this moment still about the Mumal Avodas Kichavim, a person who went off. So he's still, really, halachically speaking, to some extent, to a large extent, he's still a Yid. And he wants to donate. We're now saying, the Ramah says, no candles from him, no wax from him. And we're saying, a step further now, we're saying no donations from him as well. Is that what we're saying? Rabbi Feingold, donations or no donations? Chal Shabbos Befesia. Donations, yeah. Says the Mishneh Berurah, that, Mishneh Berurah says, Sivkotten Mem, it's not only with regards to candles and wax. Any charity, any stock he wants to give, do not take from a Mumal Avodas Kichavim. Why is that? You're not allowed to light it. The domile korban. It resembles a korban, a sacrifice. She'ein mekabel menu. In Beis HaMikdash, there was a rule, you're not allowed to take a sacrifice of a Mumal Avodas Kichavim. The same halach applies as well. Mumal Avodas Kichavim, somebody went off, don't accept his donations, not in the Beis HaMikdash, and simply not in the shul nowadays. V'adin me'mum lechal Shabbos v'hesi, that's really your words, Moshe, exactly your words. Anybody's a mechal Shabbos v'hesi, somebody who publicly discreates Shabbos, somebody who publicly doesn't keep Shabbos, don't take his money. Don't take his money. Or Mumal Achiz, or somebody who is a Mumal Achiz, Dafka doesn't want to keep mitzvahs, don't accept his stocker. Hafilu be'acham shar averis, if it's one averis specifically, he's not interested in keeping. Specifically, the Achiz doesn't want, not interested, you don't accept his, you don't accept it. She'en mekabim in korb, ne'en mekabim dovol beis haknesses. Right. Miu im nesan mois lichtob sefer Torah b'shmon shori. Now, this leads us really to the next shaila which you mentioned. What about a goy? What about a goy? What about a goy? Goy, there's lots of charities out there, and often they are very keen to support Yiddish causes, for whatever their agenda may or may not be. Are we allowed to take, is a kollel, a yeshiva, a school, any moisset allowed to accept, aniyim, poor people, are they allowed to accept charities from goyim?
Yes. Because if you don't, they'll be offended.
Oh, you're saying there's an element of aim. Fear that they're going to get angry. Right? Yeah, it's going to cause resentment. Absolutely, very interesting. Svora mentioned in the poskim. Yeah. Oh, so you're saying that just like, so surely should be okay. Yeah? Yes or no? Potter's House Grammar School gets £500,000 donation of it. Yes or no? What do you think? So it's a big shiloh. It's a very big shiloh. The poskim discussed it over here. And the way the Mishneh Berurah says over here as well, which is, it's a huge discussion, and many, many hachronim discuss it, and there's a huge machlokes to this day. There's one svar which is mentioned in the Mishneh Berurah, which is the last line quoted in the Mogen Avraham, and even the Mogen Avraham itself is in the machlokes. Miu im nesanon mois lichtoy sefer Torah bishmon shorim. Mishneh Berurah says, im nesanon mois lichtoy sefer Torah bishmon shorim. He said there's a difference between, that's what Mishneh Berurah says in the name of Mogen Avraham. There's a big difference over here. What are they actually donating? If they are donating he's going back in the case of the Ramah. If they are donating candles, you can't accept that. Or not of goyim either, it seems. You don't have to accept an item, candles not. But if they are giving money to pay the sefer to write a sefer Torah, and that's acceptable. What's the difference? Again, the words of the Ramah, of the Mishneh Berurah. Him nesanoi mois, if they're giving cash, lichtov sefer Torah bishmon, to write a sefer Torah bishmon in their name, sure it's permitted. What's the difference? What's the difference? If you're giving wax, if you're giving candles on the one hand, or you're giving cash on the other hand, what's the difference?
One's actually something that's actually part of avoda and tefillah, and the other's completely separate.
So, right, it's interesting what you're saying, but just to clarify, these candles have not been used. Fresh candles, fresh from the shop, fresh from the manufacturer. Then we're saying, don't. However, because if they would have been used, it's more problematic. We're not even referring to if they're used. They have unused candles, unused wax.
But it's something that's going to be used for God. Whereas
it's going to be used. It's designated.
It can be, yes, it's designated. But if it's money, the shul or the tzedakah fund can decide to make it into
whatever they want.
For the poor, or whatever they want.
Right.
As they decide.
But what if the guy gave the money and specified it's got to be used for a certain purpose?
Good question.
Is his condition, like our condition, be binding? Is his condition saying, I'm giving you this money and I want to use it for you to buy?
Very interesting. Yeah.
Are you allowed them to do it?
Good. So what happens if it specifies it should be used for X, Y, Z? Yeah. What happens then? Good. Yeah.
Someone who's a Muslim probably would be less. So he's saying it's just modest because he's an Abed of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
And so, what's the issue? What's the difference between...
you're saying that it's less modest because...
Going back to what... Could you take toilet paper from him, which isn't money? So he wants to supply all the toilet paper through the Shiva.
Well, yeah... Right, so Lemaisa, what you are saying is quite right, that the poskim do say, it depends what you're using it for. The more hektish it is, the more kurdish it is, the less we want to accept it from the goyim. The consensus of many poskim is that you're going to use the money, you can take the money, but ensure that it's not used for the actual, for the most heiliger purpose. Don't use it for the most heiliger purpose. There's always going to be elements of what you mentioned, the toilets. There's other areas as well of the maintenance, which may be used. So certainly not the salaries, certainly not the sforim, certainly not that. And that's generally the consent of the poskim. But then again, there is a very big machlokes, and many poskim were very, some tzaddikim were very, very makbit not to take any money from goyim. It's not always possible, but there was certainly some of the poskim. I want to point out that the behetiv of here is very makel, and look what the behetiv says. If you look in Behetiv and Sifkot and Tezayin, he says, Dominic Korban Shem Mekablim, Avul Me'akum Mekablim, Chenkos Abiri De. So the Behetiv gives a blanket header to take from Goyim anything. That's what the Behetiv says. So many persons can criticize Behetiv as well, and if it's from a Goyim, there's actually no Shaila. So Mechal Shabbos Fahes is going to be a problem, according to Behetiv, but a goy is not going to be a problem. It's not mos. Yeah.
When you receive money, it goes into a bank account. When you pay out, you don't use that actual money.
Yeah.
It's a check. So how can you say it's going through? Yeah.
You're saying that it's...
If they pay for the toilet, then you would have got more money for something else from somewhere else. So basically, money just moves to another place.
Yeah, money is a virtual concept as opposed to... It's not actually those coins. I hear that. I'm not sure what the answer is. That's an interesting question. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know the answer. Very, very interesting point. That money is not actually something that. Yeah, it's not. It's that's right. Yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is. That's really interesting.
Money to spend on something else if you're not spending on now.
That's a very modern concept, though, because the whole concept of being paid a mazusheni onto coins is because coins were a certain thing that you could hold. Nowadays, money is digital, but that never used to be the case. There were bank accounts hundreds of years ago.
But you said from a reformed Jew, you shouldn't accept the money, right? He's gone off the way.
Yeah.
But then aren't you making him even worse? Why don't you then say, look how these reformed Jews pay, they're not accepting my money. Aren't you going to make him even go more off the rails? Whereas if you accept the money, you might be able to bring him back to Yiddishkeit. By not accepting his money, aren't you in danger of...
Yeah, so if there is that cheshbon, then maybe one should take that. And I suppose a shiner like that...
He's going to say, oh, look how these reformed Jews behave.
Yeah, I suppose if there is such a danger, if there is such a concern, then one should explore that. You're right. One should explore that as well. I don't think it's always going to be the case like that. For instance, as an interesting case, Shlomo Zalman was asked to have a certain moset, which was a shul, which was about to close. They couldn't afford it anymore. I've forgotten now what it was. It was a shul or a school. I don't know what it was. I've forgotten now. And they needed urgently funds. So the Askonim, they put in a newspaper that urgently funds required for that particular organization. Again, I forgot if it's a school or what it was, or shul maybe. And there wasn't sufficient reply. It just didn't go. They raised some funds, but not sufficiently. Then the Askonim, they then went up to Rav Shlomo Zalman and they said, why don't we put that, they initially just give, they just advertised and they just publicized it in the very full newspapers. But then they said, maybe we should broaden a little bit the knowledge and put it in a non from newspapers at all, in the world out there. And therefore you're gonna automatically, by default, you're gonna be fundraising in the broader world. And Shlomo Zalman was very hesitant. He said if it's direct, as you're saying, then there may be offense and there may be thing, and then it's more reading to be lenient and to take that money. But if it's just you're asking, we're going out to them to raise the funds from real Michal Shabbos, going back to Michal Shabbos. Then it's much more of a problem. Shlomo Zalman didn't allow it. The Mamash didn't allow it.
About the individual.
Yeah, well. yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
It's
all for Beis
HaKnesses, right? Pardon? All for Beis HaKnesses.
Yeah.
Beis HaMadrash is not a problem. I know a lot of yeshivas
that have problems. Yeah. 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 I mean, I think that generally what they do is that generally they will fundraise and they will try. But again, your question is a good question. But they'll designate the money. Leaving out your excellent question, they'll designate the money for non-Heilige purpose. So there is, so to cut the story, there's a very interesting story with Chaim Volozhiner. It's a long story, but it's a very deep vault, just because I'm inspired from your question, really. Chaim Volozhiner went once to, there was a Goysik, Volozhiner Yeshiva was very hard for them to fundraise. And in order to get enough fundraising, Chaim Volozhiner, the first yeshiva, as we know from in modern times, first Volozhiner yeshiva, and Chaim Volozhiner, he had a very hard time fundraising because Lo Balabatim didn't understand its chashivas of the yeshiva, the first yeshiva. So what he did is that he appointed somebody who was a what we'd call nowadays in good terms a mezhulach to fundraise for the yeshiva, and he went out to all the rich Balabatim around to collect the funds to earn the yeshiva. And initially he went around as it was a bit of a shloch, and he collected funds. And he was somehow matzliach, but at a later point, after Reb Chaim Volozhiner initiated that, you know what, he shouldn't go around like that. He should be dressed properly. He should be in a horse wagon properly. He should have a carriage, and he should look like a proper mensch. And I guess hopefully he's going to be able to raise more funds. It did serve its purpose to a large extent until he reached a certain balabos. And that balabos, who initially, historically, had given a lot of money, suddenly he sees that mesholach coming and he stopped giving altogether. And he sent a letter to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he said, I'm not prepared to give. Until now I was prepared to give, but now that I'm seeing that all my money is going for a horse, he's going for posh dress, he's going for elegance, that I'm not prepared to give the money anymore. That's what this clear said. Reb Chaim Volozhiner made an exception to it. Normally he didn't reply to these kinds of questions. He made an exception. Well, it's a famous, famous story. Chaim Volozhiner replied, and he said as follows. He said, you know, he brings by Raya from Pashas Tumah, but leaving this out because of time. But the point that Chaim Volozhiner said, he said, you know, if the Ribbono Shel Olam decides where your money goes, if a person, everybody wants to, that their money should go to the Kodesh Kodashim. Anybody who donated money in the times of Beis Hamikdash, everyone wants their part go to the Kodesh Kodashim. Who wanted the money should go out for the maintenance of the, you know, the outer areas of the Beis Hamikdash? Everybody, Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, everybody wanted that their £5 should go for the gold of the Kodesh Kodashim. Agreed? But he said that only the Banisham decided which money goes for what. Everybody has got his, and that's depending on a person's lishma. What a person's intention is, that's where his heart is, where his heart really is, how important it really is that stock is, that you really feel wholeheartedly for the purpose. And then depending on your urge, your feeling, your lishma, that's where the money ends up ultimately. And he said that now I can see, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that you're really concerned about your money ending up in the coat and in the jacket and in the horse of this mesholach. That shows that you haven't got lishma at all, because that's probably where the money would have ended up. But if you really would have been a lishma person, your money would have ended up going mamash to the learners, to the Talmid, the Chachamim, learning Torah, to the Sfarim, would have ended up there. But now that I can see that you're concerned about your money ending up by the horse wagon, that's probably where it would have ended up. So that's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner explained. That depends on the lishma of a person, that's where the money ends up. So I just have it. So just to end off with this interesting Maaseh of Chaim v'Loshna. Just to recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about the shul, the shaila of making a tefillin into a shul. We spoke to the Mishnah Berurah, the Maaseh Mekel, and he says that the minhag is to be Mekel, and the reason is because lo never the bais atzma be'olam, the house itself did not serve, was not served. He's therefore Mekel. And an additional very important point to be aloch is also that if it's rented premises, it's fine as well. We then moved on and we spoke about the shaila of the candle, which the Rama says, the candle, the wax, which was donated by a mumal avodes kechavim. He says, don't use it for yeshu. Don't take the osu dat likoi. With regards to a goy, the behetiv is Mekel, but other poskim are machmir, and the Mishnah Berurah very importantly brings over here that it depends what is actually donating, whether it's the mumma or whether it's the goy, it depends what he's donating. If it's wax, it's an item, it's a direct item, the Mishnah Berurah has got reservations, says don't use it. However, if it's money which is being used for something else, that the Mishnah Berurah says it's fine in the name of the Magorim, and I think that's definitely what the minig is. And we'll carry on from Sifud Beis tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.